Greetings in the very name of the one Isaiah referred to as Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Greetings in the name of our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, isn't it great to know that you're saved and on your way to heaven? It's tremendous to be assured from the Word of God that your every sin is forgiven, cleansed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to know for sure that heaven is your home. It's absolutely fantastic to know that the Lord Jesus Christ has made peace with God through the blood of His cross. Therefore, being justified by Him, we have peace with God, Romans 5, and we can enjoy the peace of God, John chapter 14. All of this in spite of the total lack of peace among men in this world. Constantly there are wars going on between nations. There is fighting between races and even religions. There's fighting between homes and families and within communities. And yet the God of all peace, the Prince of Peace, can and does give peace of mind and heart in the midst of the storms of life. We trust today you know Him, the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're enjoying the peace of God that He made at Calvary. As we have been considering the contrast between Israel, God's chosen earthly people, and the church, His chosen heavenly people, as we've been considering this contrast in our week-by-week study of rightly dividing the word of truth, we have noted that there is a great difference in their respective callings. We have seen that faithful Israel is promised blessings that relate to this life, that is, earthly blessings, while on the other hand, the church of our Lord Jesus Christ is promised heavenly blessings, eternal reward. We are promised that those who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. We are also promised, praise God, I will never leave thee. We are assured of the constant indwelling Holy Spirit. And even though the Christian is not promised an easy time now, I can personally assure you that the Christian life is the greatest life there is, the most satisfying life. In fact, the only life worth living, both now and for all eternity. And I trust you're living that Christian life through the indwelling power of God the Holy Spirit, living in your body as a result of your knowing the Lord Jesus Christ and accepting Him as your Savior. Of course, there's much more concerning the contrast in their respective callings. But in this course we're studying, we must move on to the contrast that exists in their conduct. I might add that if you would like a copy of this study, the Correspondence Course Rightly Dividing the Word of Truth by Dr. Schofield and edited by the Emmaus Bible School, the announcer will give you all the details as to how you might obtain one at the close of the broadcast. But as we look at how God expects faithful Israel to conduct their lives, we see it in opposition or in extreme contrast to what is being taught concerning the true born-again believer, the child of God. For example, we read from Deuteronomy chapter 7, when the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hast cast out many nations before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. This is the instructions of Almighty God to Israel as they went in to possess the land in Deuteronomy chapter 7. In contrast, mind you, not in comparison, we read concerning the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. He was preaching the Sermon on the Mount, and He says to those later to be added to His church, as by faith they were born again and dwelt by His Holy Spirit, I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. To one, destroy. To the other, love. Further from 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul teaches us, being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we suffer it. Being defamed, we entreat. Isn't that extremely in contrast? Let's go back to some instructions that God gave Israel. From Exodus chapter 21, we read, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burning for burning, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. But again, the words of our blessed Lord Jesus, from the 5th chapter of Matthew once again, but I say unto you, that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. I wonder if you've ever known anyone who has literally practiced the turning of the other cheek. Sometime back, I was up in Indiana, and a friend of mine was telling me about our mutual late friend, Brother T.B. Gilbert. Many years ago, Brother Gilbert was having some gospel meetings in a tent up in northern Indiana. And one man, well, many, as a matter of fact, but this one in particular, was troubled as the Spirit of God dealt with him. Some in his family had come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was troubled. And early one morning, he was speaking with a friend on the street. He was expressing his dissatisfaction with this preacher who was proclaiming that men outside of Christ are lost, proclaiming that all men are sinners, and sinners must be punished by a holy and a just God. He was resenting this fact. And he turned, told his friend, said, if I should see that man right now, I'd take my fist, and I'd hit him right in the face. And his friend says, well, your opportunity's coming. He's walking up behind you now. Brother Gilbert said, good morning, gentlemen. How are you today? And instead of using his fist, this infuriated man turned around and slapped Brother Gilbert across the face open-handed. He waited for the reaction, and with a jut of his chin, Brother Gilbert simply turned the other cheek. The man walked off. Friend of mine, this is Christianity. This is what God calls for. For the sake of Christ, we turn the other cheek. This is not to say that as Christians we allow our people to overtake our country without resisting, or tear down our homes without standing up. We're talking about for the cause of Christ, for the witness of Jesus Christ. We turn the other cheek. This is what the Lord Jesus taught us. This is what Brother Gilbert practiced. Have you ever practiced it? Well, let's look at another passage, this time from Deuteronomy chapter 21. And we're reading from verse 18. Listen to some startling verses. If a man have a stubborn and a rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him will not hearken unto them, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him out unto the elders of his city and unto the gate of his palace. And they shall say unto the elders of this city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He's a glutton and a drunkard, and all the men of his city shall stone him with stones that he die. So shalt thou put evil away from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. If that were practiced today, several things would happen. A lot of homes would be void of children. There wouldn't be nearly as much rebellion in our streets if that type of thing were practiced today as it was in the days of Israel. But to the contrast, to the contrary, we read from Luke chapter 15, verses 20 to 23. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And then the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said unto his servant, bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead, and is alive. He was lost, and is found. And they began to make merry. What a contrast! Forgiveness on the part of those of us who have been forgiven by the grace of God, and cleansed by the precious, eternal blood of the Lamb. There's a contrast in the calling of Israel and the calling of the Church of the Lord Jesus. There is also a tremendous difference between the conduct that God required of Israel and what He requires of the followers of the Son of God. And that's what a Christian is, one who knows the Lord Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of his sins by the grace of God through faith in Him, and one who follows His instruction, His leadership, His example. We also would like this morning to consider the worship, the contrast between the worship of Israel and the worship of the Church. We won't conclude it this morning, but we'll touch on it. And Lord willing, next week we will touch again on the worship differences, and then go into the great difference in the future of Israel and the future of the Church of the Lord Jesus, which is made up not of all religious people, not of all church members, that is, those who have joined denominations and local congregations, but the true Church of our Lord Jesus Christ is made up of every man, woman, and child ever born by the Spirit of God into the Church of our Lord Jesus. Now this, just very briefly, in the appointments for worship, we still find contrast. Israel could worship in but one place, and then only at a distance from God. They could only approach Him through a priest, but bless God, the Church worships wherever two or three are gathered together in His name. His boldness to enter into the holiest is composed of priests. And God willing, next week we're going to look at some differences between Leviticus 17, Matthew 18, Luke 1, and Hebrews 10. We're going to find out that every child of God is recognized by the Holy Spirit as a priest. And as a priest, we are to worship Almighty God in spirit and in truth. Friend of mine, are you a worshiper? If so, you must be a believer. For only believers can worship the true and the holy God in spirit and in truth. So I ask you today, are you a believer or a make-believer? Why not receive the Lord Jesus? For as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to those that would believe on His name. Do it today for your soul's sake. For His name's sake, He will bless you.